He said, if you desired and knew the will of Yahweh, the only way you're going to know it is that the Torah has been revealed unto you and opened up unto you. He said that you will know whether what I say to you, it is of hell. It is of my own philosophy. It is of my own dogma, or it's of the will of Yahweh. Now, Yahweh did not send me to do anything that is contrary to the Torah. Do you understand that, brothers and sisters? HaMashiach did not come to do anything contrary to the Torah. And these perverts today, they preach their Jesus, and everything their Jesus, and the one they call their Jesus, what they teach of Him is contrary to the Torah. He said, now you understand the purpose of Yahweh, His great delight. Now if I'm teaching something or doing something different than what the Torah says, then you know that this is not the doctrine or the teaching, the disciplines, the instruction, the counsel of Yahweh. You will know that. If I'm teaching you anything today that is different than the Torah, you will know that it's not of Yahweh. Then I would flee. I would run. I would run for my own safety. I would flee. I would take my youngins, I would take my wife, I would get out of here. Husband stay, let him stay. If wife, I would run. I'm teaching what Torah teaches us, what Scripture teaches us. We must be taught that. There's no other way. And it must come that way. It has to. So what I say to you, if it's not of Yahweh, you will know whether it's of Yahweh. You will know. That's why HaMashiach declared, who is the house of Yahweh? Who are my brothers and sisters? Who is our family? Those perverts out there that you call family, that you get emotional by them? Whosoever shall do the will of my Abba? Whosoever shall do the will? Your dad is not doing the will. He is not in the house. Whosoever shall do the will of my Abba, which is in the Shemayim. That's what HaMashiach said. He said this. Now the same is my sister. The same is my mother, and the same is my brother. He did not say the same is my Abba. My Abba. He said the same is my sister, the same is my mother, and the same is my brother. If they do not do the will of Yahweh, the same they are not. Well, what is the will of Yahweh? To walk in His Torah. HaMashiach did not teach anything any different. He taught that. He was the epitome of that. He was the example of Torah life. That's what He is. Torah life brings shalom. Torah life brings happiness. Torah life brings riches. Torah life brings fulfillment. This trash of Christianity brings nothing. That's why they always must be sensitized to one thing and brought to another level. They must always try to fulfill their flesh. So they got to have a new gimmick every year. This is the year of the blessing. This is the year of prosperity. This is the year you name it, you claim it. It is just a recycling of all doctrine of the God of many and the God of fortune that Yeshaya talks about. It's not the truth of Yahweh. His Torah teaches us how to walk in the assurance of His blessings. And our heart is full of truth and love for Him, not this trash that we call the love of Yahweh. We must eat the meat that brings about the understanding of the will of Yahweh. HaMashiach said, I have meat to eat, and you know not of. And that meat is to do the will of my Abba and to finish it. How do you understand what the will of Yahweh is unless you understand Torah? Tell me, brothers and sisters, how could they understand the will of Yahweh unless HaMashiach taught Torah? Unless he based his life upon Torah? Unless he was the fulfillment of Torah? That's how we understand what the will of Yahweh is, brothers and sisters. Not praying that He's giving you somewhere. I want you to go down to down here to Monroe and stand on the street corner. That's not the will of Yahweh. HaMashiach came to nobody but the house of Israel. That's who He came to. Yahweh is going to save His house, His people. How do you know that? Because He has put something in them. He has put something in their heart, in their inward parts. That's what He has put in them. In order for you to know the will of Yahweh, you must know what Torah teaches. You can never understand what the will of Yahweh is without Torah. And that's why many of these whole houses, they reject it. They reject His name. They reject the Shabbat. Well, I was brought up in Jesus' name. You're going to die Jezebel in Jesus' name. You hear the truth, you don't harden your heart. It's a different thing of man that Yahweh, even in the ignorance, believe me, there are those That Yahweh, because scripture says, even though they did not know the Torah, by nature they did and they obeyed the Torah. We have seen that with brethren. They had a great desire and a great delight to obey Torah. Now Yahweh says in this hour, I'm bringing this to the full frontal view, that men will know, they will understand, and they will be without excuse. So you cannot say, let me ponder that. The Ruah of Yahweh, you don't ponder what the Ruah speaks to our heart. You obey it. You don't give Yahweh an option that I would take my time to think about it. No, the mind of HaMashiach obeyed everything that the Abba commanded him. And so we must obey when we hear. We just don't harden our heart. You got these apostolics, they hear, they harden their heart. Well, I was brought up in Jesus' name. They teach you to worship their Jesus. That's wrong. You worship Yahweh. That's what scripture teaches us, saints. No way you can show me where it doesn't. We worship Him. Hallelujah. Well, no one who I'm, she said, you worship me. What are you saying? That you don't realize that I'm the spirit of Yahweh's Torah. And once you understand who I am, you go bless Him. He said, once you know who I am, you're gonna shout and dance. You're gonna love Him. That's what He tried to convey unto us. And this foul thing we call Christendom, these Jezebels walk around with, I love the Lord. They don't even love a Lord. They are liars. Didn't mean to go that way, but that's all right. Let me get back on this, the Torah. I want to read this. Turn quickly to Yeshaya. Isaiah chapter 51. I want to show us the power of Yahweh. In the midst of our weakness and our fragility, our weakness to obey, we're very fragile. But look what scripture says in Yeshaya 51. Yahweh says to His people, He says, 51 verse 4. He said, listen to me, my people. Is that what it says? I know it says hearken probably in some renditions. But listen to me, my people. He said, give your ruah, give ear to me, O my nation. For what now? He says, for a law or a Torah. For a Torah shall proceed from me. Now, where does the Torah come from? It comes from Yahweh. He says, shall come from me, and my mishpat, my judgment, I will set at light of the nations. My righteousness is near, my Yahshua, my salvation shall go forth, and my arm shall they trust. Now he's talking about HaMashiach here. Now this is what this prophecy is about, that we're going to trust in the finished works of Yahshua. And we must trust in those works. Now I know that your rendition may read a little different than what I read, but that's accurate, all right? Receive it. He says, lift up your eyes to the Shemayim, and look upon the earth beneath. For the Shemayim shall vanish away like smoke. Do you believe that? It's going to vanish away. And the earth shall wax old like a garment, and they that dwell therein shall die in like manner. But my salvation, my Yahshua, shall be forever. My righteousness shall not be abolished. What is His righteousness? His truth. His righteousness is from everlasting to everlasting. What is His righteousness? He has to have a government, a law, a Torah. He said, my righteousness shall not be abolished. And this applied to the living Torah and the written Torah. It is not abolished. And man has abolished that. He says in verse 7, listen to me. You that know righteousness. Who knows righteousness? Who knows truth? The people in whose heart is what? Is what? So your grandmama, your granddaddy are not righteous. Your son or your daughter are not righteous. He said, you that know righteousness. Who are the ones that know righteousness? The people in whose heart is my Torah written. Does that make sense? Is that simple? You cannot know righteousness without the Torah. The people in whose heart where my Torah is written. And if the Torah is not written, then you don't know righteousness. This is a generation that has gone about to establish its own righteousness. And your righteousness is just like a minister rag from a woman. That's what that means. That's what it implies, a filthy rag of a woman. You daughters of Zion, you understand what a filthy rag is. That's what it is. And that's what your righteousness is like as a filthy rag. And that's what Christendom and all these religions have established, a filthy rag. A bloody, sodded rag. It's filthy. It's full of stench. It's something you want to touch. You want to get away from it. Who are those that know righteousness? You cannot even know righteousness. The people in whose heart is mine, Torah. And he warns you. He said, don't fear the reproach of men, what they speak against you. They're ostracizing, they're denouncing of you. Neither be afraid of their reviling, their insults. Don't be afraid of their insults. They're going to insult you. Well, the Lord Jesus did away with that. That's how they talk. Now, I talk with this kind of vernacular because I want those that do not understand the strength of Torah, that do not understand the profoundness of Yahweh, to understand the implication of their religious practices. I want them to understand that. And these words I am going to use for the expedience of those that do not understand. For all gods are dogs. Yahweh is not a god. It's a pagan beast. He is a mighty creator. So those that know righteousness, that's what he said, I have declared your righteousness. How can you declare the righteousness of Yahweh unless it proceeds out of the Torah? The Baptists have their righteousness, the black. The white was in their prejudice. They have their righteous laws or their righteous stipulations. The black Methodists got theirs. Their separation, they all got their own righteousness. The Ku Klux Klansmen got those, their own righteousness. The black superior ones and the white ones. The righteousness of Yahweh comes forth out of the Torah. And it must be written in your heart. That's why we do very little righteousness. That's why we don't know how to do right. That's why you don't know how to be right by your neighbor. That's why you can't be kindly affectionate. Can I tell you all something? Kindly affectionate is a tenderness, it's a softening, it's an affection. You can sense that, you know it, you feel it. If there's something about that, you feel it. I want to be able to feel some kind affection. There's a reason why you don't have it. Show me in the book. Can I show you? Look to your neighbor and say to them, do I have it? Come on, turn to someone and say, do I have it? Turn to him again and say, do I have it? Scripture says here, listen quickly. It says here, I want to move a little farther. It says in the Shane book, and I will go to Jeremiah. Yes, Jeremiah. Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 31. Be patient. Listen, brothers and sisters. You need to hear the kiddushims of Yahweh. We spent too much time this week on nothing. Now hear the word of Yahweh. Jeremiah 31, verse 31. It says, now look, now it says this, not only those that have the Torah in them knows righteousness. Is that right? That's the only way you can know it. It says this here in Jeremiah 31:31. See, the day comes, saith Yahweh, and I will make a renewed covenant with my Beit of Israel and my Beit of Yehudah. Nor according to the covenant that I made with their Avot in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they broke. You see, they broke the covenant of Yahweh. A covenant relationship with a husband and a wife is that he doesn't commit adultery on her and she doesn't do the same on him. She understands the Torah of life in her obedience unto him. He understands the Torah of life of his obedience unto Yahweh. That's how it works, sisters. Brothers, it works that way. He has a faithfulness unto his head, and you have a faithfulness unto your head. And his head is HaMashiach. And HaMashiach gave us instructions how to deal with our wives, how to work with them, how to love them, and how to deal with them. He gave us that. And so when one breaks the covenant, it says, your role is more important than mine. And each role is vital to the covenant relationship. Although I was a husband to them, saith Yahweh. Was he their husband? Did he save them? The salvation, you wives, you better understand. That's why the enemy used you so viciously. You don't speak. Will you call Yahweh your great creator some of the things, or talk to him the way you talk to your husband, man? Sure you will. That's why you do it. Quiet, homie, huh? Did Yahweh say he took them by the hand? Did he not lead them and guide them? That's the role of a husband, to lead his house. I don't care how you feel. That's his responsibility. You don't take the strength of the man, period. Only Jezebel does that. And she used her mouth to do that. I don't care if you get upset or offended. It makes no difference, daughter. If you're a virtuous woman, it was one thing about a virtuous woman that she caused her husband to be emanated in the marketplace. He was well spoken of. And what women have learned today to be Jezebels have learned how to rebel, how to be disrespectful and dishonor. They have not learned how to love their husband because they have been taught. You don't know how to love unless you are taught to do it. You get offended because someone tells you that. It was not the man that was deceived, it was the woman. That doesn't make her any less vital importance to the man. She's trying to elevate her importance of the Yahweh. Yahweh showed how important she is by submitting and obeying. That doesn't make her less. That doesn't make her a valid part of Yahweh's creation. It shows her importance of her place. When she goes beyond that, it shows us that she placed in the hands of Shaitan. And women get offended at that. And they should not. A woman that has made herself ready to be a wife, she's more precious than great Reuben. Who can find a virtuous woman? A virtuous woman doesn't talk back. She doesn't bring shame to her husband. She will do him good all the days of his life. You see, there is a Yahweh put on a virtuous woman out of Jezebel that wrote her mouth to speak to a man in front of someone has no regard to that. Even Abigail didn't do Nabal like that, even though she knew he was going to die. Get quiet, God! You can get quiet like this, but you get quiet in your homes. I don't care if all of you hate me. Husbands do, it makes no difference. You take over their wickedness, I will not. You know what I did? I began in my house. Well, you don't talk to Sister Roberts that way. No, I just, when I say things to my wife, she just get quiet and listen. That's her place to do. Yes, sir. All right. Would I tell her to go bust her head? No, I wouldn't do that. Tell her to obey Torah. Do what Torah teaches you. Don't try to instruct me, sister. I'll instruct you. Hallelujah. That's it. Period. You don't take the man's strength. You don't remove his head. His head comes from his strength comes from his head. Hamashiach. He knows where Hamashiach has placed him. You don't remove him, Hamashiach, and you put yourself in that position. It's a wicked generation. They've taught the young girl from school. They removed them from their place. That's why Yahweh tells you to train your children. Train your daughters. That's Neandic. I know it is. It's right. That's why it's Neandic. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Can I ask you a question? Shaiagriah. Did man eat the first day Yahweh made him? Sure he did, didn't he? Does he still eat today? Was that Neandic? Was that old? He still does it, doesn't it? Did he pass waste back then? Do you still pass waste today? All right then. His function never changed. Do you eat, fuel the body, and pass it out? His function never changed. So that you eat the word of Yahweh and we pass it out. What fruit? We eat the word of Yahweh and it brings out fruit. So don't tell me it's changed from that day. It has not changed. Not one bit at all. His hierarchy of power has never changed. Shaitan showed that from the beginning. That's why he tried to exalt himself above Yahweh. He tried to become like him. So he said to man, you can become like him if you choose to do what you want to do. Yahweh said, I put a Torah in the heart of man. So it was not the man that was caught in transgression. He did not rebel against Yahweh. He went wrong when he said the woman. He said, I've sinned. So daughter, Shaitan will use you to try to remove the authority at the place of the man. You understand the words that your words are very powerful. They cut. They destroy the man. Saul answered, turn the way of wrath. If he says something, just answer himself. You'd be surprised what it would do. Most women don't not answer Saul. If your daughters get upset with me, you're full of hell and wickedness. I don't care who you are. You don't listen, you get upset with me, you're full of hell and wickedness. Period. It's not your place to run the house. It's your place to carry out the mandates and the authority of the husband man. Period. It will bring about a great strength to him. It will elevate him to his place and the pinnacle and the perch that he should be. And believe me, honey, when he's elevated, you will rise. Why? Because, do you understand? Because you are exemplifying the power of a virtuous woman. And that virtuousness is far above rubies. It's a great price. It's a great value. Do you understand that? The enemy of hell has demented the minds of the women today. Do they think if they're not out challenging a man, they're not, they don't have a great value? Honey, when you don't challenge him, you show what value you have. When you do challenge him, you show what substance you possess. And that's what the world has taught you. You become educated fools. You're not educated because you know what pi equals square. That doesn't make you educated. That doesn't make you have wisdom at all. Man that has wisdom, he knows how to use knowledge. He knows how to make things work. A woman too. So the situation is not appropriate, so she knows how to implement things in the situation to make it work. That's a virtuous woman. She makes her husband. Should we not be a virtuous woman? Should we tell Yahweh what we're going to do? Is he the ruler? Is he the savior of the body? Don't think that he made man to be some kind of popcorn man. He put something in man. Do you understand? He put something in man like he didn't know the creature. And Brother Jermaine tried to express that. He's going to get back on that. He tried to express that to us. And when Satan saw that, he said, I must bring him down. Because he has the illumination of such great power that he gave him dominion over everything. He gave him charge to replenish, to make this place an oasis of beauty. He gave him power to do that. He charged a creature from the mire of clay to do that. And then he gave him a helpmeet to say, get up, man. You know what you got to do. That's what she does. Come on, man. Go forth. What the world has taught women today is to denigrate and to destroy the strength that's wrong. You learn that wickedness from your wicked mammy. I say it. Mothers, you ought to teach them. If you teach them right, you have no shame. You shouldn't. You haven't taught them. My mother, I say it. I will say to my mother often, I say, she's a whore because you taught her how to be a whore. She's an ignorant Jezebel because you taught her that. What do you think's in her? What's in it? You put it there. Quiet, huh? You didn't teach her how to be a woman. Period, mothers. Come on. You teach her what's right. You can't plant a pecan tree and not expect pecans. That's why he put the man there to till the ground. When a man doesn't play his role, when he doesn't carry out the law of his house right, when he's a jelly-backed sponge thing, when he's an effeminate thing. Thank you, brother. Anybody else quiet? That's all right. When he's an effeminate thing, he doesn't plow the ground right, then what do you think is going to be there? That's why you put the husband man there to plow it. Cut down deep. Brother Chris put that three-bottom plow on that tractor. It gets down into the earth. It turns dirt over. Another thing that's been there all year living that didn't even know it was there, all of a sudden it's exposed. It exposed everything. That's why you do it that way. To kill everything. And that's what the husband man does. He gets down deep. He shouldn't be a soft, effeminate thing. He should be a man. I don't care if you don't love me. I must hit some chord here today. It's all right. I'm all right. You got the problem. You're offended because it's dealing with you. I'm not offended. Not one bit at all. I'm not offended. You're offended because it's you. And if it's not you, you rejoice. And if it's your sister, you pray, Yahweh, give us strength. And your reactions show me what action take place among us. We ought to rejoice in the truth. Yahweh tells us to rejoice, and again I say rejoice. He tells us in all things to give him thanks. When you belittle a woman, that how foolish would I be to belittle the daughters of Zion? I know the importance of them. I know their place. The Torah teaches that. And to make them less than what their value is, that Yahweh put a value upon them that is so great. Tell me, what's the value of a ruby? Tell me what it is. Yahweh said it though, didn't he? The price is far above rubies. Tell me the value of a ruby. This trash we see today, that's trash. You got to see one of Yahweh's rubies. In the city of Jerusalem, there will be 12 foundations. They're going to be made of crystallite, jasper, precious stones. That's going to be something to see, isn't it? So what is the value of Yahweh's rubies? The reason we have a problem is because there's no love of the Torah. The Torah is not written there. The Torah teaches a daughter. It teaches us. It teaches us to abuse Sarah, daughter, as she did with Abraham. It teaches us that Abraham. It teaches us what a man does. That's the way. Teaches you how to deal with your wife, to love them. Teaches a wife how to deal with her husband. And this trash we call love is not love. I'm telling you that. Love is only based on the foundational truth of the Torah. And if one is not doing what the Torah says, a man that allows his wife and suffer her to do things to shame him, to disregard him, to do it in front of others, to have no respect for him, he has no power of the Torah written in him. None whatsoever. And a woman that does that, she has no love of the Torah. And if a man doesn't perform the duties that Yahweh called him to do according to the Torah, then he's not a man. Well, he's hard. Let me ask you something, honey. I would ask you one question. All you hypocrites, a foolish mindset, is Yahweh an austere man? Is he austere? Is he austere? Does he say things that you don't like? Does he instruct you in things that you get angry about? That's your problem. That's the problem. Yahweh is tough. Yeah, I don't want to say, but he's bad to the bone. He's bad. He's bad business when you don't do what he commands you to do. He's bad business. When he say dress it right and cover it down, he means dress it right. Hypocrisy, we've learned, think we can do well. He understands my heart. Yeah, he knows it has no Torah. It's not a righteous heart. It's a wicked heart. Because if it was a righteous heart, it would do what Torah teaches. When he tells you one step, he means that. He doesn't mean a half step. He doesn't mean a quarter of a step. He means one step. And what Shotham has done, he has deluded the women, the man. Yes, he has today. They don't understand the proper beauty in their place. They understand the law that Yahweh intended for them to show. When a woman loves her man, it costs the man's heart because Yahweh made him. He knew what he did when he made him. God says it's hard to be tender. Nothing that's going to cost us that. Nothing else. That's why he gave him a man. That's why he gave him a woman. Because it's hard to be tender. And that's what Torah teaches. The wife, she honors, she reverence, she respects him. Never disrespect your husband. Quiet, that's all right. And husband, you love your wife. You do what Torah tells you. You instruct them. You discipline them. You say no. Yes. Yes. No. I'll think on it. Hallelujah, way. Hallelujah, way. Wow, that doesn't excite the hearts of the people. It doesn't procure many friends to you either, to it. But that's all right. The old song, "What a friend," I said, "What a friend I have in Yahweh. He's my friend. I'm here to defend. I'm here to declare his righteousness." And you need that righteous Torah in you. When you understand that, only then will you understand love. That's why many women don't understand love today. And they're looking for something, what they have perceived by this fictitious image that Hollywood whores have taught you. That's love, and that's not love. It's based upon some kind of emotion, some feeling. It's not based upon that. University Home would say that all the time, even though he did not have the perfect understanding of it, but he had the understanding of it. Love is more than just is more than words and verbiage, see? Love is an action. See, we love Yahweh, we obey. Here it is love that we keep his mitzvot. We obey Yahweh. Any man that says he loves Yahweh, keep not his commandments, his mitzvot, he's a liar. So that's how we know we love. When a man keeps the standards of Yahweh's Torah in his house, that's love. Not because he doesn't capitulate and cater to your little whims and your little crowd. That's not love. His love is that he keeps the mitzvot of Yahweh. He keeps the mishpatim of Yahweh, the judgment of Yahweh in his house. That's love. He saves his house. He brings it under the austereness of Yahweh's stipulations. And so we have had this picture painted that this is the way men should be, and this is the way it should be, and we want them to be soft because we think Yahweh is that way. He's not that way. What he put in man to show us what he's like. Who he put in man to show us what he's like. When a man sets his heart to do something, he's set that way. I don't care what you say, he's going to do it. Period. I'd rather have a man like that that's a sure man. His feet are on the sure foundation than an unsure man, a double-minded man. I'd rather have that. There's nothing like a double-minded man. He's unstable. He falls. Let me move on quickly. Where did I stop? Hallelujah. Jeremiah. Let me start in verse 31. Okay, I began reading. 32. "Not according to the covenant I made with their avat in the days that I took them out of the hand to bring them out of the land of Misvarim, which my covenant they broke although I was their husbandman to them, I was their husband to them, says Yahweh. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the Beats of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my Torah where? In where? And I will write them where? On their levim. I will write them in their heart. And I will be their Abba, and they shall be my people. He said, once I do that, look at this, brothers and sisters. And they shall teach no more every man his neighbor. And every man his brother, saying, know Yahweh. Do you know what Yahweh commands? When a man knows Yahweh, he does what keeps his mitzvahs, doesn't he? So you won't have to ask, no one has to ask you, do you know Yahweh? You will keep his mitzvahs. You will love his truth. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, saith Yahweh. And I will forgive their iniquity, their torahlessness, their transgression. And I will remember their sins no more. We will know him. We will know his will. We will know the purpose. And no man will have to teach us his purpose, because we will know the Torah. And this is the generation, those that call themselves white Hebrews, black Hebrews, Hispanic Hebrews. It's amazing, because the blacks will say that they are the only Hebrews, or the people of darker race, and the whites say that they are the only Hebrews. They will know the mitzvahs of Yahweh. They will know his mishpatim. They will know his Torah. They will know that the true people of Yahweh, because it's written. That is a renewed covenant that Yahweh has placed with his people. He has put it that you have no reason to act the way you act. You have no reason to be disobedient, no whatsoever. You have none whatsoever. And you cannot make an excuse for wrong. You declare the righteousness of Yahweh, because it flows from your heart out of the power of the Torah that is written there. And whatever is in you inwardly is going to come out outwardly. If you're full of hell and derision and sin, if you're full of hatred and fighting, it's going to come out of you. If you have the Torah Ahava of Yahweh in you, it's going to come out. Whatever is in you is going to come out. The old saying, the proverb, what goes up comes down. What goes up to that little noggin of yours is going to come down into your belly. And you're going to respond that way. In all my days, I wish I'd had a brother that taught me like this, preached to me like this. I loved Evangelist Hartsfield. He had his preaching. But he always done something different. And that's the truth. That's just the truth. It's just the truth. Oh, you think you're greater than him? No, he say, when a man has his Torah in his heart, from the least, I'm the least. To the greatest, he's the greatest. He said, you will know me. You will know me. And you will be my people. You will be my people. You will be my people, and I will be your Abba. That's what he says. Now, how can you be his people without the Torah written in you? We ought to be ashamed of our actions and our deeds. We ought to be ashamed. The way we respond. You know, my wife said to me yesterday, she said, you all right, Pastor Roberts? Well, I wasn't feeling good. I think a lot. I didn't answer. She says, well, why do you think I don't feel good? Because of her caring. What do you think that? No, I didn't tell her. I'm telling her now. And so even my attitude was totally different, because she said, okay. She said, can I look in your eyes? I said, Sister Roberts, I'm all right. She said, let me look in your eyes then. I said, Sister Roberts, I'm all right. Just leave me alone. I'm all right. You asked me a question, I'm all right. She said, please, can I just look in your eyes? And of course, because of my own guilt, I didn't want to do that. I said, okay, I looked in her eyes. I said, see? She said, okay. Okay. Yeah, I know what's wrong. All right, huh? All right. Okay, I understand. Do you understand? Even with the simple knowledge of that, well, tell me now. Just let the man, leave him alone for a while. He'll be all right. That's all I needed. Just leave me alone. I'll be all right. I'll be all right. And then I could express my appreciation for that last night in bed. Thank you. I didn't tell her that, but I bless you. And I can sense the warmth. You understand that? That's what this beastly spirit has done to the women today. It's taken out the femininity. Hallelujah, Yahweh. He said, I will put my Torah on their heart. I will write it there, and they shall be my people. And I shall be their Abba. Without his Torah being in your heart and your inward part written, you are not his people. And he is not your Abba. This is what Shaul says in Ibrahim, Hebrews chapter 8:10. I want to finish this. I've got a few more scriptures. You sit and be patient. He says this, for this is the covenant. That's what he always said. But this is the covenant I will make with the band of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my Torah in their mind. See, that's your inward part, your mind. And I will write them in their levim. And I will be their Abba, and they shall be my people. Now, Shaul did not say anything that is contrary to what Yeshaya said, what Jeremiah said. The Torah must be written in your heart, brothers and sisters. You need it in your levim. What we do in our heart and our inward part, we remember incidents and things that happened yesterday, 5 days ago. We write them there. That's what we remember. But we cannot remember the saving power of HaMashiach or the love of Yahweh that He expressed us that day. We should never go to bed. We should never sleep and let the sun go down with wrath or vengeance or indignation in our levim, in our heart. We should never do that. We should get it right. You don't go to bed that way because tomorrow is not promised. And your sickly emotions make you even that much weaker. That's what emotions do. You get even more. That don't make you stronger. Why? Because Scripture tells us, Torah tells us. Even in Torah tells us, when a man says he's weak, just let him say I'm strong. Why? Because we have the strength of Torah. That's how you know you're strong. You have the strength of His truth. You have the strength of His Torah. That makes us strong. You have something written in you, brothers and sisters. I speak things to help you and to strengthen you. Your own heart speaks things to you to destroy you. If I'm wrong, I wouldn't stay here. I wouldn't allow a man like this to lead me into error. Hallelujah, why? And that is the truth. I want to show you an incident. You know, I say things at times because I know what is written in our hearts. It ought to be His Torah instead of sin. I say things at times and people say, well, I watch the expression of some. I may say things. And I watch when I made an expression yesterday concerning women, what kind of things they love. I watched the sister like, I like history. That was not the statement. When I said that women like certain things and men, they care more. Men don't care for things that women care for. And that's just the truth. Period. That doesn't mean that women do not like to understand things, history. That's not what I said. People hear, but they don't hear. That's why they respond the way they respond. But they respond in ignorance. And that's why I had to retort to what kind of action I did, because I said, the sister didn't even hear me. She's really trying to make an expression to say, well, some may, but I'm different. But you're no different than any other woman. You go to all women, they can tell you what cuddly, what love is, how they want to be, what they want, how they want their husband to cuddle up them up and do all these kinds of things. They all will tell you that. Unless she has no natural affection, no affection. And I say, what's wrong with that anyway? What's wrong with a woman being like that? She should want to be like that. She should want to express the ultimate of an effeminate character. She should want to be effeminate. Not bodacious like a man. See what they got the girls playing basketball. You watch these women play basketball, they look worse than men. Their knees, the operation. They got them doing what they call sports. Everything that a man does. You understand? That's what they got them doing today. So women today want to be like men. Yahweh wants them to be like a woman. You understand? That's what he wants. So look at this incident right here in Dibri HaYahim, First Chronicles chapter 15. Dibri HaYahim. First Chronicles 15:25. This is when the Ark of the Covenant was restored back unto the city of David. I want to read this because it's important. Listen to me. I have a few more scriptures. It says here, 1 Chronicles 15:25. It says, so David and the elders of Israel and the captains of thousands went out to bring the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh out of the house of Obed-Edom with joy. They was glad to receive that covenant again. It had been taken by the Edomites. And that's where they've taken the covenant of Yahweh today, by their natural force. That's what the Edomites are. The natural men, they've taken the covenant. So we are the Hebrews. We are the ones that are the Yahdams by natural force, by their brutally, beastly character. You understand? And it goes on to say, I want to drop down to verse 29 of the same chapter. And it came to pass as the Ark of the Covenant. You must understand that David dressed in his royal gala for that day. He put on his finest. And it says, and it came to pass as the Ark of the Covenant of Yahweh came in the city of David, that Micah, the daughter of Saul, looked out at the window and saw David dancing and playing. And she loved him in her heart. She what? And that's the heart of the people today. We despise the Torah. Because the Torah calls one to rejoice. Scripture says that. When the Torah is written, it caused the heart to be glad. So she despised David. I said to us, when we see others doing things that they rejoice, we despise that. And some people think, well, nah, that's not so. It is the truth. She despised the great king because he was glad to be back, to know that he was back in relationship with his Abba. And he just began to dance and play. He forgot who he was. He knew who he was. He was glad to have the covenant back. He was glad to know that it was real and that he hadn't lost out at all. So he just danced up something. He wallowed. He acted of showing love. Wow thing. And she looked at him and despised him. That's not dignified. I wish he would stop praying like that. I wish he would stop hollering out like that. Hallelujah. Well, you sit here. This is a generation that doesn't deal with their heart. And they think that they're above Scripture. This is found in the people of Yahweh. You understand. This is found in His people here. This is found. Do you hear what I'm saying? This is found in His people. We don't like to identify. We don't want to say it's me. We want to say it's someone else. But it's found in His people here. And she despised what the man did. She despised what David did. Why was he glad like that? Can I tell you why? I want to read something from the Apocrypha. Hear this. It says in the Apocrypha, in Sirach. Listen to this. It says in Sirach 30:22. Listen. Gladness of the Lamb is the life of man. And the rejoicing of a man is length of days. Gladness in the heart of man is the life of man. That's why you have no life, because there's no gladness. You get glad over folly. But when you hear the restraints and the disciplines and the truth and the love of the Torah, you don't rejoice in that. When Yahweh teaches you daughters what Torah says, you ought to rejoice in it. When He teaches you, brother, what Torah says, you ought to rejoice in it. You fight against it. That's why there's no life in you. HaMashiach is the life of the Torah. So when you get glad about the Torah, you know that the life of HaMashiach is in you. You have respect not unto a person, you have respect unto you. And you think very highly of yourself and you don't esteem no one else. Well, I'm not like that. I like history and you know no history. No nothing. But that's the way you are. Can I show you what Sirach says? You must understand this prophecy. This book was actually, if you just look up the word Sirach in your dictionary, these are books of a great discipline of Torah. And they were books, especially Sirach, it was one that emphasized the obligations to the Torah in a great way, emphatically. This is what he says now. This is what he says. That's what he says. I wonder if I look at your neighbor. Just look at your neighbor. Come on. You say, what do I look like? All right, I want to read this from Sirach. It says, the mark of a happy lev is a cheerful face. That's what it says. But to devise proverbs requires painful thinking. To understand or to implement a proverb, a word of wisdom, it causes you to think. But the mark of a happy lev, a man when he's happy, he has a cheerful face. I'm happy. I understand what it means, the blessing, the fullness of Yahweh. The mark of a happy person is a cheerful face. I delight. No delight to do the will of Yahweh. I delight to do thy will. Because there's no delight there. There's no mark of a happy man. Get quiet. That's all right. The preacher's not going to change a thing. Not one thing. The mark of a delighted lev is the expression. Why is going to tell you something? The man loves to see the cheerful face. He doesn't like to see that hardness. I'm telling you that. Soft answer. A quiet answer. Turns away wrath. When Yahweh David said, answer me. I need you. And Yahweh answered him. He answered him. Why? Because he understood the heart of his wife. He understood her desire. And Yahweh said, I'll answer her. And I will bless her. Hallelujah, Yahweh. We must keep our heart. You must keep your love. Because old Solomon, he realized that when a man, you must keep your heart with all diligence. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows the issue of life. Now, how do you keep your heart? without it being governed, trained, and disciplined by Torah. You can't keep it any other way. Gossip and trash doesn't keep your heart. Lies and folly doesn't keep it. It pollutes it. Diligently seek to keep your heart from letting it go astray. Think of the things that are lovely and pure and sincere. That's all you got to do. Let that be a new song in your heart. Hallelujah, Yahweh. Hallelujah, Yahweh. I'm going to close from these verses here from Hebrews chapter 10. I began in Tehillim, Psalms. And what was written there, Shaul did not break or destroy the validity of that at all. He says in Hebrews 10:1, he said, for the Torah having a shadow of good things to come, and not the very image of the thing. It did not have that. See, the very power of the thing, it didn't have it. Why? You know why it didn't have it? Because the flesh was weak and corrupt. He says, can never with those sacrifices which they offered year by year, contiguously, make those draw near perfect. Why? Because there was always a remembrance of the sins and the corruption. We cast our cares upon Him. We confess our sins. He's faithful and just to do what? To forgive us of all of our sins. Then. And you don't have to remember them no more. Otherwise would they have ceased to be offered. He said if they cleanse one. If those offerings cleanse one. Then they would not have to continue to offer the same offerings for the same sin. Don't you bring the same offering for the same sins all the time? You're sorry for this. You was wrong with that. It's the same thing over and over. He said because then the worshipers once cleansed should have no more awareness of their sin. It's over with. But you're aware of your sin because you constantly do those things. But in those offerings, there is a yearly reminder of sin. There it is. For it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. It couldn't do it. Therefore, when He comes, look at this. When He comes into the world, He says, sacrifices and offerings you did not desire. That's what HaMashiach said. That's what the words of David, that's what the prophecy declared. But a body Yahweh has prepared, you have prepared for me. Yahweh prepared the body. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then said I, behold, I come in the volume of the scroll. It says that, doesn't it? I come in the volume of the scroll. It is written of me to do the will of Yahweh. I come to do your will, O Yahweh. That's what He came to do. I came to do your will, to take great pleasure, to offer up that great sacrifice, the purpose for you by the Torah. Verse 9, then He said, behold, I come to do your will, O Yahweh. He takes away the blood offerings, the offerings of bullocks and goats and heifers. He takes away the first that He may establish the renewed or the second one by that desire. We are now Kodesh and made set apart or clean through the offering of the body of Yahshua HaMashiach once for all. And every Kohen, every priest, standing daily serving and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. They offer the same things. Everyone coming with the same problem. Everyone with the same problem saying it can never take away sin. Not at all. But it says, but this man, after he had offered up one sacrifice for sin, continuously sat down at the right hand of Yahweh. Why? Because it's finished. He paid the price. He is the fulfillment. The Torah. He is the power of the Torah. Where a man truly lives, and the life and the light of the Torah is in a man's heart, is written in his inward part. He will please Yahweh. He knows the will of Yahweh. He will bless him. He will remember the Shabbat. He will not have gods before Yahweh. He will not make images of the gods. He will remember the Shabbat. He will not take his name in vain. He will love his neighbor. He will not covet his neighbor's goods. He will not covet his wife or his children. He will not do that. No, he will not. He will not steal. He will not commit murder. He will not do those kinds of things. Not one bit at all. Not at all. Messiah says this. HaMashiach says this. I want you to hear this. He says this. As he talked to that rebellious house, those that rejected the truth of Yahweh, and that he was the living power of the truth, he said unto them, full well, you reject the mitzvot of Yahweh, that you may keep your own traditions. And that's this people of Yahweh. We reject His counsel, His instruction, that we may keep our own tradition, that we may continue in our own laws. You reject the mizvats, the instructions, the law of Yahweh, that you may keep your own laws. For your traditions have made void the Torah of Yahweh, what you do and what you perceive is right. Yahweh never intended for it to be that way. The house of Israel is identified, first of all, with a written Torah in their heart. That's the beginning. They have the Torah written there. It is written. He said, this is the renewed covenant I will make with the house of Israel and Yehuda. That I will put my Torah in their mind. It will be there. And I will write it. I will write it in their heart. It's written there. Know it. Understand the Torah of Yahweh. His counsel, His statutes, His limitation. And He gives us limitation. That's what a statute is, a limitation. You ever heard of statute limitation? If you don't do it within a certain period of time, it can't be done. So He gives you husbands limitations. He gives you wives limitations. Do you understand? He gives children limitations. He gives parents limitations as well. I will take the side of right. I don't care who it is. I will take the side of right. And when I deal with people, I will deal first of all with the sin. You don't want nobody to deal with your sin first. You don't want nobody to deal with your transgression. You want somebody to deal with your emotion. I will not deal with that. I will deal with the sin. I will show you how vile you are. I will show how corrupt you are. And I will show you, if that's the issue, then what have you done to make sure it's done right? You go to the Torah, the Word. Where you have that true Torah written there, you will have no need for me to teach you that. You will know. That's why it's a generation that must be taught. A generation that is ignorant. A generation that is sottish. A generation that is blind. Blind guides leading the blind. And they both fall into the ditch of darkness. And they fall down groping and trying to find and contact each other. And they have no contact with each other at all. Yahweh wants us above all to hear. What is the first commandment? Hear, O ye Israel. That Yahweh Abba, your Abba is two. One. Boom. I'm the one in authority. I'm the one that commands. And when I tell you to do it, you better do it. If you don't, I want you to know I'm austere. I'm tough. I reap where I sow not. And if I sow, I still reap. Either way. Why? The earth, fullness there is mine. The wicked is his as well. So what do we need? What is the message today? That how much he has come in the volume. And that's the only way you're going to know Yahweh is that you know the volume. To understand his will. That the volume must be in your heart. The Torah volume. May Yahweh bless you. He gives you strength and cause your heart to be refreshed and revived today. I am. I'm going home to rest. I needed this today above all men. Me. As I came in here last night and prayed, your time went by so fast I didn't realize that Jermaine was coming in. But I dealt with my own heart. Yahweh, me above all men. I, me, Yahweh. Help me. I really didn't have time to pray for others. Me, oh wretched thing that I am. And that's what we are. He brought me out of a harbor pit. He took my feet out of the miry clay. And I'm glad. I don't want to go back where I came from. I don't want to walk back in those same conditions. I have one more road for me to travel to finish, and that's to finish this road. And to stand in the presence of Yahweh for judgment. And we all are going to be judged. His judgment began here. His mishpatim begins here. And it begins here first in his tabernacle. Where shall the wicked and the unrighteous appear before Yahweh? You cannot even know righteousness unless his Torah is written in your mind. That's why Christendom and these religious perverts know no righteousness at all. Hallelujah, Yahweh. And when we hear his truth, then you don't harden your heart. He governs everything in our lives. He governs every aspect of our life. Our homes, our children, our husbands, our wives, our eating, everything. We just don't allow him to govern it. He governs everything. And the thing of it is, we do just like Micah. We get angry at Yahweh. That's what we do. We get angry. We despise what he says to us. How many times you despise what the man of Yahweh says? And he's preaching out of the book. You despise it. We despise it. We get upset. He hit me. Well, yeah, I'm hitting you. I meant to hit you. I said it to hit you. But you understand, we're so ignorant that every son that Yahweh receives, every son, every daughter, he chastens. He corrects. And so if he corrects you, don't you know he's trying to let you know something? And you allow the ignorance of your mind to let your emotions get in the way? He chastens, He scourges. That's what He does. And if He's not chastening and scourging us, don't you get filthy? Can I ask you a question? You went to bed last night. Did your breath smell when you got up this morning? Don't tell me it was smelling like peppermint. It was stinky, wasn't it? Why? Because everything we eat, the toxicity of the things we eat, they come back up that way. Because your breath, no, it doesn't smell good. Your mouth doesn't feel good. Your mouth doesn't feel good now with all the talking I've done. So do you have to brush your teeth and wash it out? You have to do that, don't you? So it is with us in our everyday walk, the way we walk, the way we live. We have to be clean out and purged, cleanse ourselves. Sure you do. You have to take a bath. So He brings us to the house where we can get the fuller soap. He gives us the fullest of measure. I want the fuller soap. I don't want no soap that smells good and I still smell funk. I'd rather have soap that don't have no scent to it. I don't like soap with scent to it. I want something just soap, just plain soap, no scent. I don't want me to smell like a rosy woman when I come. I don't want that. That deceives you. I want something just, the soap I use that has no smell to it, but it gets down in there. Just plain old soap. No smell. Toothpaste, no nice taste to it. Nasty. Won't taste good, but it gets the job done. You understand? The soap I does always white, white bar soap, is it? But I know it's working. You understand? Now, I don't want no red rag to wash myself. I want a white rag so I can see what I got to get out and clean out and wash and make sure when I see it I can rinse it out. That's what I want. I don't want no blue rag. Can't see nothing on a blue rag. But on a white one I can. Our sins are red as crimson. He wants to make them whiter than snow. Ain't no white man whiter than snow. You understand that? You haven't seen white. That's why it snows. You understand when it snows that way you can't handle it because it's the white just and that's polluted. But it kind of blinds your eyes. You got to put on something to darken the brightness. Sure it is. Hallelujah, Yahweh. So He wants to cleanse us. He brings us to the house, the fuller house, and bathe us. He strips us. He shows how filthy we are. There ain't nothing like when you smell something. You say, "Is that me?" And you find out it's you. It's not somebody. That's you. Ain't nothing like that. And when you get that stuff off, it makes you feel better, doesn't it? That's what He's trying to do, get that filth off, you feel better. That's all He's trying to do. That's like children today, your parents say, you can take a bath. Mom, I won't take no bath. Hard thing to do, make them take a bath. They like you to walk and play. But you got to get down there and wash them. And tell me little children don't stink. Sometimes they get muscles or there's a muss ox. Stink. And so that's the way we get. We get filthy. Our minds get filthy. We hold things in our heart. Stink too. That's why every now and then you want some of that sena around here, or that sena we grow, or some sena tea, or Brother Dale. You want some of that, don't you? Yeah, you want some of that every now and then, don't you? Because it goes over there and reaches and grabs everything, doesn't it? Yes, it does. I'm afraid of that now, but because it grabs too much. But you want some of that sena tea. But it grabs everything out, doesn't it? Sure it does. Don't you feel better when it grabs all that out? Come on, brother and sister. You don't feel better? When you take something, when you take a cleanser, don't you feel better? I know I do. Should I feel like I feel 1,000% better. Man, it makes you feel better. There's a cleansing there. So that's what Yahweh do. He's going all the way up in you. He's got His big right hand. He goes all the way down there. And He pulls that trash out and says, look at that. That's you now. No, you think it's her, but it's you. Smell it. That's what He said, let you do, smell you. What you smell in the day is you. It ain't nobody else, it's you. That's all He let you smell is you. Hallelujah, way. That's what He's doing. He's letting you smell you. He's letting you know who you are. You can't offer it on someone else. That's what the man did. Well, the sister, if she treat me nicer, that's just ignorant. You're wicked. As much that lies within you. Do good. Be strong toward all men. Especially the sons and daughters. Well, honey, you don't know what she said to me. So I'm just going to, you're going to hell. You a wicked thing. Don't like that, do you? But that's all right. I tell you the truth, brothers and sisters, because my heart cares for you. That's why. You make me feel bad. Good. I'm glad I make you feel bad. If I make you feel bad, then I'm exalting Him. I'm not exalting you. I want you to know what place He wants you to be in. It's never someone else's you. Period. It's always you. Whatever you murmuring about. Was it Yahweh that caused them to murmur? It was them, wasn't it? Did He bring them out? Did He feed them? Can I ask you all a question? Did He wake you up this morning? Did he feed you? Then what are you murmuring about? What do you murmur? What do you scorn and mock Yahweh for? What is your problem? You're the problem. It's not someone else. It's always you. We just don't want to deal with the issue of our own wicked heart. The woman made me do it. No, she didn't make you do it. She's a lady before. Who made her do it? Your own rebelliousness makes you do it. And so we don't want to deal with that. We're so shallow and so petty-minded, we want to put it off on someone else. Or the devil made me do it. No, the devil didn't make you do it, honey. He didn't make her do it. He was subtle. He said, girl, you want to talk to me? How you doing? How you feel? I feel good, too. Beautiful day, isn't it? Sure is. I'm glad. Look at me. Come on, look at me, girl. Do I look good? Yeah, you look good. He was the most subtle thing in the garden. You sure look good. Come on. Is that splendid there, honey? Don't tell me. I got it. You want some of this? I tell you what. If you want to be like me, a God, just eat from that tree there. You always say, don't eat from the I know what he said. He knows it. Can I ask you a question, honey? Why would he tell you don't eat from that one? Why just that one? Because he knows what's there. He knows that if when you do that, honey, you got it. Is that so? Yeah, baby. Try it. Nobody make you do that but you. Can't nobody make you hate nobody but you. Nobody make you do nothing but you. Ain't nobody made you do nothing. When I act a fool, ain't since why me made me act a fool. I act a fool because it's foolishness in me. You got that callousness in you because it's in you. It ain't nobody. Old Calvin ain't made me do nothing. Hallelujah. So nobody makes you do anything. You did it. And that's the truth. Come on, Brother Pat. Nobody else made you do it but you. And so your easy cop is blaming somebody else. I blame old Pat. No. It's you. That's all it is, brothers and sisters. You might as well say, help me, Yahweh. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Come on, everybody, look to someone. I mean what I say. Say, neighbor. Look my eyes, brother. Say, I need a little help. And I know you can help me. When I get out of hand, please help me. And I love you. Bless you. Let us stand to our feet. You that are listening, we do bless you today. We pray that Yahweh bless you in this message today. Sometimes Pastor Robert's getting a little carried away, but you need this in your homes. And we'll bless you and we'll strengthen your home. May always Shalom rest mightily in your bed today. And may the power of HaMashiach, the life of the Torah, fill your heart. Come on and sing with us our song, Pastor Brown. Let there be love shed in our hearts. Come on, Brother Patrick.
Be love shed among us. Let there be love in our lives. May not your love sweet the sound cause us away to arise. Give us a friend. Understanding a brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Come on, grab your neighbor's hand and sing that.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be a love in our life. May not your love sweet desire cause us Yahweh to arise. Give us a fresh understanding above the real, so let there be love shared among us. Let there be love.
Come on, look in your neighbor's eyes and sing that. Come on and mean it.
So let there be love shared among us. Let there be love His grace calls us, Yahweh, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shed among us. Let there be a love.
Come on, one more time, every heart.
So let there be love.
We bless you all that are listening today. Your homes, Brother Michael. Sister Michael, our Brother Alex. Brother and Sister Heath. Our brothers and sisters throughout the nation. Sister Tucker and you all. We bless you all. Wherever you are, Brother David Marnie. Every home today. Brother Rex. Brother Jerry there in Dallas, Texas. Brother Nathan there in Houston. We bless you all as you all gather today. May Yahweh Shalom rest upon you. We pray that we understand His pure hava, and that we grow affectionately one toward the other, and that we may have the same heart as HaMashiach and the same purpose. Hallelujah. Wait. Come on one more time for our brothers and sisters out there that battle the strongholds of the enemies. For you all that are gathering and listening.
So let there be love shed among us. Let there be love in our lives. May not your love sweep us out. Cause us, Yahweh, to arise. Give us a fresh understanding of brotherly love that is real. So let there be love shed among us. Let there be love.
Lift your hands and Shabbat Yahweh. For this day has been a great delight, our precious Abba. We praise you for all things. We thank you for your strength and your assurance. We thank you for revelation. I pray for the house of Israel that your Torah is written in our lev and in the inward parts. Bless the precious saints that have been listening today. Our kiddushims all over the nation, around the world, wherever they're listening. Bless them today. And strengthen those homes that need strengthening. For we need it here, our Abba. Bless us all to grow affectionately one toward the other. And strengthen us, I pray. We thank you for this Shabbat. We thank you for the gathering this evening as we will come together for a great gathering. Bless all the kiddushims throughout the nations of the world. We ask all things in your Yahshua's HaMashiach mighty name. And all the kiddushims said hallelujah way. Hallelujah way. Shalom. Yahweh bless you all and shalom. Oh, yes.